personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Bit of a heavier news week than actual sports result week this particular time, but I think that's pretty much par for the course for, you know,
such as
February.
What's on your mind? What do you mean news week?
Oh, we got a couple of things breaking. I noticed right then and there we can start with that so that I have a place to begin.
Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa appears to be progressing through his concussion protocol at a nice and reasonable pace, according to his teammate Alec Engold. You know who's not progressing in any capacity whatsoever?
Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo Ball, who, did he actually like die 3 months ago and they're just Weekend at Bernie-ing us now? Is that what this is?
Well, it's interesting because I was reading the update from that this morning. Of course, what we're talking about is yesterday the Bulls announced they're shutting down Lonzo Ball for the rest of the season because he still has lingering pain in his knee. And I'm not laughing at his pain, so don't give me any of your crap out there. I'm assuming people who are extra sensitive haven't found our podcast yet. But the report that I read said it causes him pain when he runs, jumps, or cuts. And I'm like, well, that's problematic as a basketball player.
He's going to have a really excellent career, though, in the wheelchair league coming up here shortly. Ooh.
I'm not going to consign him to that just yet. I just thought, he's 25 years old. This is so Derrick Rose again. What the hell?
This is way worse.
But
what's Derrick Rose? We just said, yep, he tore that ACL.
But what the hell, Bulls?
There it is.
Is the Bulls training staff taking lessons from the Washington Commanders medical staff? Oh, that bump's fine, Trent. There's nothing wrong with that other than it's cancer.
Which thankfully he has fully recovered from and is now playing at an all-pro level.
Yeah, for another team.
Before anyone really gets on us for our chuckle there.
No, but that was the main reason he left.
Yeah.
Is their staff sucks so bad. I'm starting to wonder if they all went to Chicago. Because when those guys get hurt, they never come back right. Look at Lauri Markkanen. Guy's a freaking all-star now in Utah. And they tossed him away like he was rotten fish.
Yeah. The Bulls did make a couple of signings, though. Behold, Dal, the season is saved. Patrick Beverley
Yay.
And Terry Taylor are here.
Patrick Beverley is 6 points a game. Wow, thanks.
But on the plus side, at least if we win one play-in game, we'll have a really excellent GIF that can be set to music and turned into a meme across Twitter like he had after winning the Timberwolves there. Their little mini series there with the Clippers. That was fun. When he ripped off his jersey and was waving it around, and people started setting it to, like, I'm the man. Oh, you can tell everybody. As he's whipping his jersey into the stands.
I just question, does he even know where he's going? I mean, clearly he does because he picked Chicago, got a buyout from the Magic.
You talking about the Lakers comment?
Yes. He's like, it's like, what's your goal? So he was on the Pat Bev podcast, and he noted that the Bulls have two games remaining against the Lakers.
That's probably what he meant, is that the Lakers are so teetering that he's like, if we beat them twice, that might knock them out.
It's like, yeah, I want to knock them out of the playoffs. But that's not how this is reading. It's like,
I know. It sounds like he's completely retarded.
It's like you understand that you'd have to meet him in the finals, right? To knock him out of the playoffs if they're in the playoffs.
I'd take it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, right. They're like 7 games under 500. Anyway, he sounds like an idiot. So I hope he's not. But he's not exactly bringing in like, I mean, he'll help the three-point shooting for the Bulls, which is not good.
It's atrocious.
Which it really shouldn't be. You got DeMar DeRozan. You got Zach LaVine. Nikola Vucevic. All those guys are supposed to be decent three-point shooters.
It's my fault, Dal. Have I mentioned that every time I've turned on a basketball game this year that whatever team I'm rooting for cannot shoot a three and pretty much loses every time?
Well, you must be watching the Wyoming Cowboys too then.
Oh, you should have seen Illinois was playing Indiana. in a game that was going to go a long way in determining who took home the Big Ten regular season title. And it was on ESPN, so I turned it on. I'm like, what the heck? It's Saturday morning? Why? Or no, I guess it was Sunday morning. And I said, why not? Why not watch Illinois take on Indiana for the Big Ten potential title? Turn it on. Illinois, they're going to need a miracle, right? They're down 3 points, and they got the ball with under, I believe it was 7 seconds to play, and Indiana smartly just commits a foul. They're like, all right, take two free throws. You can't score three on us with two free throws. So Illinois's got to pull a miracle here. They make the first free throw, and then they just pelt it off the backboard, right? They just bang right off the backboard. They get the rebound. Oh, wow. Send it outside, and then holy crap, would you believe it? They've got someone standing wide open, totally uncontested for a game-winning three. Total miracle. Puts it up with 1 second. He airballs the three. He airballs it with the game on the line. Oh, Illinois.
Which is what normally should happen. I mean, we get kind of spoiled.
If it was me and you playing one-on-one, maybe, but Division I. And Illinois, I'm not talking Division I like SEMO is Division I. I'm talking like Illinois, who's ranked every year at basketball Division I.
I'm just saying, the game of basketball, even in games you shoot well, you're going to miss at least half your shots. So
them, fine. You can't even, like, make it close?
Does it
touch
matter?
The rim a little bit? Yeah, so that my pain can be a little bit more intense.
It's all about you.
I want it to hurt even more, Dal. I want it to toilet bowl the entire rim, then come out so that I literally die right then and there in front of my television.
You need more problems in your life. I'd actually kind of like to go back to the Tua discussion just for a minute, if you don't care. I kind of feel like he's going to be the litmus test on the modern concussion protocol. Just the way things are going with this last season, where it was kind of
You want to talk about a bad training staff.
Well, it was as it was kind of perceived that you guys either didn't care or didn't catch.
Botched it twice!
His first concussion. Anyway, and then you also got a guy... And again, this is not like a slight at anybody, but some people are more susceptible to getting them than others. Let's just...
Well, anyone that's had one is going to be more susceptible.
But let's just say that. I've covered a lot of kids at the high school level, and some of the toughest kids I've ever covered. One of them in particular, I'm not going to mention his name because I'm good friends with his dad, but one of the toughest kids I ever covered, he... had to miss significant time his senior year because he kept getting concussed. And there was still, and that was like 10 years ago. So there's still like this idea that it was like, oh, come on, you can power through. It's like, no, you can't power through if you can't see straight, you know? Anyway, it's just, but I look at this thing. I really do feel like this is going to be worth watching because Tua hits the ground like a drunk woman.
Yeah.
Like he flails and hits and always hits his head. And I'm not saying that like, oh, hey, look at the woman. You know what I'm saying? It's like Bill Burr when he says women fall like toddlers. They just hit hard.
I had one concussion, which I always say, I make it a joke, which maybe you shouldn't joke about concussions, but I do because it's my own friends and family. But I had one concussion through my entire playing career, and I used to say that was a miracle because I was kind of a scrawny kid that played receiver.
Scrawny.
I'm like going over the middle
You're
all the
time. You're friggin' huge.
Going over the middle all the time. I'm like, the fact that I only came away with one concussion, and it was to the tackling dummy.
Really?
Of all things. We had the ones you pull back and then you let them go so you can practice tackling and blocking.
Oh, okay.
We were doing stock blocking drills, and I, being the genius that I am... I kind of had my hand on the guy in front of me's jersey so that it wouldn't be obvious that I was clearly talking to my friend who was behind me in line so that when the line would move, I'd just move with it because I didn't want to get yelled at. And then suddenly, oh, there he went. And for some reason, I didn't turn my head around realizing that, uh-oh, The jersey I was holding is gone. That must mean I'm next in line. So my head's still turned. I just hear, Feely! At the top of Coach Rugley's lungs, turn my head around and just kind of drop down into a stance because I panicked. Bang! Right into the crown of my head it went. And it is kind of wild because I had never had a concussion before. So what ended up happening was I kind of was laughing and everyone's like, oh, that one got you, did it, Feely? And I'm like, yeah. And I tried to stand up and I'm like, ooh, got to catch my bearings here. Things are kind of wobbly. And you're kind of thinking, it's like when you stand up too fast off the couch. And you're like, if I just sit here for a second, things will balance their way back out. Except what ended up happening is I'm just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there.
Yeah.
And at no point does the ground stop moving. And I'm going, all right, ground, go ahead and catch back up to me. I didn't down like a bottle of whiskey here. I just took one little hit. Well, they sat me down, went to the doctor the next day. He's like, yep, that's what a concussion is,
well,
Aaron.
Well,
no more football for the rest of this and next week.
Well, I also look at, again, obviously I talk about the Wyoming Cowboys a lot.
My doctor, by the way, whose name was John Madden, which meant that, and I'm not kidding, my coach had to call his office because he genuinely thought I had forged a doctor's note because he knew what a giant football nerd he was. He's like, Feely, I know you're not this dumb. You did not just hand me a doctor's note from John Madden. I said, no, I promise you that's literally my doctor's name.
That's awesome. but where was I going with that? Dang you, Aaron.
Litmus test. Falling like a drunk woman.
Oh, okay. But before that, I was just going to say, you know, I get a player for the Wyoming Cowboys basketball team, Noah Reynolds. He's our leading scorer this year. And he took a hit to the head that didn't even look like much. I mean, from camera standpoint, you know, you're watching it and it's like, huh. And he went down. It looked like it kind of caught him in the temple.
The brain is not a tough organ.
But it's just, but it didn't even look like, oh, wow, he hit his head. He's done. They shut him down a month ago. Said, you're done for the year, buddy. And it's just... So, yeah, you look at this thing with Tua. He's not a very big guy as far as football players are concerned. Average human being, yes, he's a good-sized person.
We always have to put that relatively speaking
yeah.
in there, don't we?
Well, as far as football players are concerned, what is he, 6'2", 200 pounds?
It always reminds me when people say stuff like that, my dad actually spitting out his drink from the dining room table because I was watching wrestling as a kid, and this gentleman, his name's kind of a no-no name now for those of you that kept up with the news in 07, but it's what his name was Chris Benoit. If you know the incident, you know, but he was wrestling at the time and they're playing a video package and one of the announcers says, and Chris Benoit comes into this thing and you know, he is just all heart, not a very large person or not a very large human being going up against the Big Show here. My dad almost spit out his drink. He went, not a very large, gets on his knees, like 6 foot, 235 pounds. He's like, not a very large human being. He's like a boa constrictor in human form. He's just one giant muscle.
Well, compared to the Big Show, though,
you always got to put the relatively.
Well, and that's in there. But that's what we're saying. You know, it's one thing to be that size playing against other people your size, but in the league,
or getting sacked by 330.
But in the league, you know, you're getting thrown to the ground. That's the thing. His last concussion wasn't even like the hit from the player. It was him getting bounced off the ground.
The ground does not lose many fights.
Yeah. And it's softer than it used to be, regardless of what people talk about. I mean, you look at the old stadium, the Vet for Philadelphia, it was basically metal plates with...
When it was AstroTurf?
With carpet on it.
Yeah.
It was concrete carpet. Anyway, it was just... But I look at Tua and I'm thinking to myself, is he going to be the first quote-unquote superstar, which I don't know that he is, but in terms of name recognition, he is. Is he going to be the first person to basically say, my career is done in 5 years because of concussions? Is he going to be that guy? Because it's going to happen to... I mean, it has happened to less high-profile players.
I believe Luke Kuechly only lasted 8 years, and he said concussions were the reason he was stepping away early.
Well, and that's a valid question. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is...
And Kuechly, I always said, was the closest thing to Brian Urlacher I had seen since Urlacher
retired. And at least Kuechly had 8 years. I guess what I'm saying is there going to be a player that you're expecting to play 8 or 10 years that's going to get like 3 or 4? And then it's like, okay, you should probably stop.
No more brain trauma for you. The doctor said no.
Well, especially with the way that the quarterback contracts are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest. The dude's already got more money than he'll ever know how to spend.
Although, isn't he currently on his rookie deal?
Still. He's got millions of dollars.
Yeah. Again, relatively, I guess.
Yes. My point. I wonder if he's going to be like the guy that people are going to point to when it comes to unrecognized potential because of concussions moving forward.
And... you know, we just kind of mentioned contracts a second ago. If we're through all the injury news and making everyone very sad, couple of things. First of all, I hate you and your football team, Dal. If the rumor is true,
what did I do?
The strongest candidate right now before March 7th when the deadline hits. It is strongly believed that Washington is going to franchise tag Daron Payne. You absolute losers! I hate you all. Give him.
No.
Give him now.
Yeah, why should we give him?
The only thing
we should give him is money.
Here's why, Dal. Because I said please.
Screw you and the Bears. I actually did read some stuff. I guess the franchise tag for him, it would be right around, I'm going off what I just read, around $19 million or $20 million. It obviously goes up if you do it in consecutive years.
Mm.
He's looking for about $22 million a year. Is what I read. Here's the thing about Washington and Daron Payne. If it was just him, I think you'd let him walk. But you've already invested in Jonathan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And they already do really well together. They just had their best season together ever. It just makes sense to keep them together while it's like, oh, by the way, we finally maybe... or making inroads on the offensive side of things with getting Eric Bieniemy.
I think the biggest key here for Washington is going to be with the salary cap increasing. Does that free them up to be able to say... because at a certain point, there is the theory of, well, you know what? If you're roughly between a 6 and 9 win team, you're kind of in the middle, do you want to be spending money? Or are you trying to get younger and try to turn yourself into a superpower? And they might be there if it wasn't for the fact that they might be turning the corner and going, well, you know what? The cap's going up anyway. Maybe we sign him now while he thinks that this is a good deal.
The issue with Washington...
And then in 3 years, it'll be a great deal for us.
The issue with Washington is their identity right now as a team is a defensive first type of team because of all the first rounders they put on that D-line. And they weren't even 100% healthy last year. I mean, Chase Young barely even played. And so you think about getting those guys, you're probably going to lose Montez Sweat because you can't keep everybody. But for the first time in like 5 years since those guys, they started drafting all those guys from Alabama on the offensive line or defensive line, they are looking at their offense and going, maybe we'll be a little better next year. Because they scored, they were like 26th in the league in offense. And so it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense to keep investing on the defensive line if you're only going to score 26 points a game. So at least they went out and said, Eric Bieniemy, how much do you want? What title do you want? You can have everything with the exception of the actual head coach, but I strongly suspect... that was discussed over the 2 days that they got him in there.
26th in scoring, not 26 points per game. If Washington was scoring 26 points per game,
I'd be happy with that. Yeah, 26th ranked.
Yes.
There's no way in hell we average 26. I could be averaged like 17 or 18, something like that. I just, if at least they're addressing it. So I think, yeah, go ahead and franchise him. If you can sign him long term, great. If not, franchise him a year or two. See what happens. It didn't, but it's the relationships on the team that I'm more concerned about because they did the same thing with Kirk Cousins. He became the first guy to get franchised multiple years as a quarterback. And then what happened? He left, man. He left as soon as he had a chance, as soon as Washington decided he was too expensive because he didn't like the organization. They didn't even like, and that's been the problem with Washington. Hopefully they're turning that corner now.
And now he's got to be, since Cutler, he's got to be the most hated on, oh, that guy's terrible, he's a heaping pile of crap, quarterback to constantly be, you know, throwing for 4,000 yards and this and that in history. Poor Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's the crazy thing about the history of quarterbacks in Washington is they had never had a 4,000-yard passer until Kirk Cousins, and he did it like three times.
Now, to be fair, that's not the same as when, like, Bears fans talk about how we've never had a 4,000-yard passer. Because, like, that's to point at it and go, yeah, look, literally our last good quarterback played in the 40s. Washington at least had good quarterbacks since then. It's just 4,000 yards used to be more difficult than it was before Cousins got
there. I admit that, but at the same time,
like, I'll say, like, Theismann and that two-year stretch of Mark Rippon, if they had been playing that well and had played in 2015, they'd have probably thrown for 4,000 yards.
Yes, but at the same time, I also feel like that position still continues to be a black hole for them. And even now, we're just hopeful. We're hopeful that Sam Howell can be the guy under Eric Bieniemy. I mean, it's just another year of please let this work.
And I just realized this, too. So we can also discuss this. But you didn't participate in spring football last year, Dal. You weren't a big fan of the USFL.
I wasn't. And in fact, until this Sunday when I was watching I didn't realize how much I didn't like the USFL.
I have text evidence. You did, in fact, join and watch some XFL football.
Yep.
This last weekend.
I watched the whole Defenders game. Now, you losers in your text thread were just harassing each other. I don't know what you were doing. I was working in Evanston doing our game, and I have like 45 texts from you guys.
Now, there is like 10 people in that group.
I understand that, but I don't care. And it's like, you know, some of us have to work on the weekends, you know, like Lover Boy sings about. Come on, man. You guys, you just get this kid. And it was kind of a frustrating day because things didn't work quite right technologically where we were setting up. And so to have my phone just going off constantly, I'm just like, I'm going to turn this damn thing off.
Yeah. You should probably just mute that text when you're not
participating. Well, I'm not technologically savvy enough to know how to do that, okay?
I think it's a, you know, there's a little three dots up at the top. You just hit them.
All right. Well, I didn't know that.
You can unmute later. It's great.
I'm Generation X. I grew up still with, I mean, yeah, I have cell phones and I can play computers and I hooked up video games, but I also grew up with a rotary telephone in my house.
You say this, Dal. My father is of the exact same generation. He works in tech.
Yeah. How old's your dad?
It's normally easy because he was born in 70.
Oh.
53.
All right, so he's older than me.
No, 52. 53 this year.
So he's 6 years older than me.
He's like an elderly person.
Shut up. Anyway.
That comment was specifically for him when he's listening to this.
I do want to throw this out there.
If he can hear it.
The Titans announcing a couple of releases today. Breaking news. Taylor Lewan, who's been there forever, their left tackle.
You remember when he kind of broke that news back in November? He said, yeah, just so everyone knows, they're going to cut me this offseason.
Yeah.
Because he had a season-ending injury earlier in the year. And they were like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You know, you think, you know, you're going to get healthy again. You're going to come back. You're going to be with Tennessee again next year. And he says, oh, probably won't be for Tennessee. And I believe that was on the Barstool Sports podcast. And all the people there were like, you're like, sure about that? He's like, oh, they're going to cut me. And everyone just starts laughing. And here we are. And they cut him.
Well, he's in the final year of a 5-year, $80 million contract.
They also cut Woods.
And I was just getting to that. And also kicker Randy Bullock, for what that's worth. But Robert Woods, oh my heck, the Titans gave away A.J. Brown.
He was their A.J. Brown insurance.
Yeah, and he didn't do anything.
That worked out great.
Although it looks like I saw on social media, Robert Wood was like, free! Like, he's free now. And I was like, apparently he didn't like his...
Well, you heard what A.J. Brown just went out and said, right?
Yeah.
That the reason the Eagles just trounced the Titans like they did, someone said, well, you know, did you give your defense any signals, anything like that? And he said, I told him the cadences. It's like
I gave him everything.
I told him everything because those stupid morons in Tennessee don't change a thing from year to year. So I knew it would all be the same, and it was. Oh, boy.
Yeah, not exactly a glowing endorsement. But
A.J. Brown's been busy on social media recently.
Yeah, he has. But...
Sometimes you get the best quotes out of people when they're freshly mad.
But so what does this mean, though? I mean, to me, your left tackle, you get rid of that a guy like that. It kind of feels like a new era, and it almost feels like we've talked about the Titans being one of those teams that might, you know, they might be drafting a quarterback. They drafted one last year, but boy, he didn't look like much.
And I mean, technically, they don't have to adhere to the 3-year rule because they, even though he was like the second quarterback taken, I think they took him in round 3.
Yeah.
So
he didn't look like the guy. Let's just put it that way.
I remember being absolutely furious staring at my TV because you know me, I'm a big old Chiefs hater.
You're a chater.
I am a chater. And Malik Willis started the game against the Chiefs. And that game went to overtime, and they lost in overtime because Malik Willis couldn't throw. They trusted him to throw 7 passes in that game, and he completed like 2 of them.
And it was still too many.
And I went, if Ryan, how many? I mean, just think of this sentence for a second, Dal. I remember I was sitting in front of my TV going, man, if Ryan Tannehill had played, the Titans win this game easily.
Yeah.
Like, really think of that sentence for a second.
Tannehill, here's the crazy thing about Tannehill. When Tannehill came to Tennessee as the backup, people were like, okay, well, I didn't work out great in Miami. He was okay. He took that job. I mean, Mariota, it was clear that he was the lesser of the two quarterback. When Tannehill at the Titans, that's been a great stop for him. Mm-hmm. I think he's done a good. I mean, this last year they weren't as good, but look at what they gave up. I mean, they were.
Do you think
they didn't have some of their best players that they had had? To me, he's still very serviceable if he can go to a team that has a good line and some weapons to throw to.
If Ryan Tannehill is moved from Tennessee, what do you see his career projection more likely being? Not what you would do with him. What do you actually predict is more likely? Ryan Tannehill goes on to be a fantastic Josh McCown, Ryan Fitzpatrick, best backup in the league type quarterback?
I would say Ryan Fitzpatrick minus some of the interceptions.
Or is Ryan Tannehill going to be more bottom half but not bottom tier starter still? He's not going to go anywhere that he's going to have to be a backup type quarterback.
To me, it's going to depend on what happens throughout the league. I mean, you have a lot of quarterbacks that are getting looked at in the first round of the draft. So obviously those teams are moving on. They're not going to be looking at a Ryan Tannehill type person. But look at like the Jets.
Who seem are being very public about their desperation to go get hands on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but that's a team with some weapons. That's a team with a really good defense. It's a team with a coach that looks like he knows what he's doing.
It's the Titans, too.
I'm just saying they could do a hell of a lot worse, and they have already, than get Ryan Tannehill.
I'd ask this, too. If you're Tennessee, you're up against cap hell right now. If you're taking a new quarterback, do you just throw in the towel and say, you know what, that core we just had, their window's up. We're not winning a Super Bowl with them.
I think it is. I think that's what's happening.
Trade Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. And if that is indeed the case, you need to trade him.
I mean, if you don't think that you're winning a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, get rid of Derrick Henry.
And they're not.
Yeah.
And
that's they, us. I'm saying if they believe yeah, that, of course.
And they should trade him because he is one of the few dominant running backs in the league.
And
you want to talk about his value is high.
You want to talk about saving yourself a little bit of cap space.
Yeah.
You get rid of your... And now, granted, he's the best player on your roster.
But here's the other problem with that trade, though.
You still got to sell your tickets, I guess, come fall.
Well, I'm not worried about that kind of stuff. But who would you trade Derrick Henry to? What team is out there going, oh, Derrick Henry? Because very few teams hand the ball that many times to their running back. In fact, the Titans and the Browns might be it. And the Browns obviously aren't going to get him. They've already got Nick Chubb.
You could make the argument that a team would switch to such an offense if they did have it. We just mentioned him. How about the New York Jets? What if the Jets get their hands on a quarterback?
They really
are the Jets going to try to go all in to say, you know what, we're gonna do the Miami thing. We're gonna say everything right now, right here, right now. We're getting Aaron Rodgers. We're getting Derrick Henry. We got 2 years to do this. Let's try to do it.
They really like, and he was kicking butt. What's the name of their running back that got hurt?
Yes.
I can't remember his name, but he was doing great. In fact, that was the big turning point for the Jets last year, is when he went down.
Is it Breece Hall?
Yeah, thank you. I look at Henry, and I think you're exactly right. I think it's you should trade him if you're not going to win. But then I think your trading partners...
What about Buffalo?
But I think your trading partners are going to be limited.
You want to talk about...
Buffalo... To me,
and I know Buffalo tends to play in a lot of what's outside right now.
Yeah.
It's heavy snow, by the way, for those of you that are simply listening.
We will never get out of the snow here.
No.
It is up past your butt crack, and it will never stop.
To my friends and family, you will never be seeing me again. You will have to just tune into this podcast every week to make sure I'm still alive. But anyhow.
Wyoming, it's one of the few states that still actively tries to kill you.
And I know the Buffalo Bills... There's like this pride, and the rest of the country thinks, oh, it's heavy snow, it's Buffalo time. I kind of went back and I looked at it just for the fun of it. You know, the Bills' offense actually drops 12 points a game in their point per game average in the snow.
Well, yeah. That's normal.
That is normal, but maybe they're not this... Because they rely a lot on Josh Allen and the deep ball.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen can throw it through the snow, but it's not as easy.
Well, but I also feel
imagine that offense if some team had to go into Buffalo in January. Let's say Cincinnati or Kansas City's heading to Buffalo again next year in the playoffs. And they're like, all right, well, we got 15 inches of snow on the ground. Whoopsie daisies. Well, at least Josh Allen can't just hit Gabe Davis for 80-yard touchdowns on us. We're good to... Oh, is that Derrick Henry back there? I hate life. Life sucks. We quit.
To me, I do not think that's a good fit for the Bills. I feel like, one, that would be good for that one game, that one time, maybe.
But not that Derrick Henry can't get you 100 to 200 yards
but I
in
also,
September.
But I just... He's not a pass catching. He's not a guy that I go, ooh, he's really good at catching the ball.
He's not a great route runner.
And that's what the Bills need. I'm telling you, the more I think about it, like I said, Saquon Barkley, you have to pay him. But let's be honest, Buffalo, your window is open right now.
I was just implying that if you're Tennessee, if there's someone that you can try to ship him off. And granted, this is a cap dump move for Tennessee. You're not trying to get a first-round pick for Derrick Henry. I mean, Buffalo might be able to say, well, you know what? If you're getting rid of him anyway, take our fourth-round pick. We'll take him off your hands. That might be better than
that's true.
Throwing a bunch of money at Saquon Barkley.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch, though, because I think you're right. I think he's clearly your best player.
Vegas would be interesting.
But it's sort of like when the Jazz paid the max contract to Rudy Gobert. It's not that he's not worth it. It's that he's still a center in the modern NBA. Same thing with this. Derrick Henry is a dominant running back in a league that no longer fears a dominant running back.
Well, some teams do, because obviously I genuinely believe the Tennessee Titans almost made the playoffs, lest we forget.
Well,
they were 6-2 to start the year.
And they were the number one seed last year.
How many of those wins had anything to do with anybody on that offense that wasn't Derrick Henry?
It's true, but they just the simple idea and the fact that they gave away A.J. Brown shows you you still can't do it by yourself.
Yes.
You've got to have several weapons, especially in a 17-game season, which extends to about 20 games if you're going to do the whole thing.
Sean Payton just got there. He's going to try to fix Russell Wilson. Javonte Williams was slightly disappointing.
You know what? Except
need some way to try to match up with Kansas City twice a year.
Except here's the flaw in that. Denver has no assets to give.
No draft
for Derrick Henry.
But as I just said, if it's a cap dump move, maybe it doesn't cost a high draft.
But I don't think it is a cap dump move for the Titans. I think these moves they just did are cap dump moves.
I'm saying if you're going to go full on with it,
Henry has value. I mean, to me, if you get anything less than a second rounder for him, and I think that's like even not very much. If you get anything less than that, then keep him. I
think that if you're trying to go full rebuild though, you don't want to pay whatever it is, $18 million a year to Derrick Henry when you know that that's meaningless. You're like, you know what? I'd rather just have the money so I can go get young players to surround my potential new quarterback I might be going to get.
That is absolutely an intriguing landing spot, one that I hadn't thought of.
And if we're going to do the, maybe they treat him like a quarterback. Like I just said, they're like, you know what? He wins games, even as a running back, so we don't want him in the AFC. Every team in the NFC that I think, oh, they like to run the football, has a running back already they liked. The Seahawks have Kenneth Walker. If Walker hadn't exploded onto the scene, I would have said Seattle because Pete Carroll would draw nudie photos of Derrick Henry at practice every day. I'm convinced of it.
What about the Cardinals? The Cardinals could use one.
The Cardinals is intriguing, though. That
they got Connor, but those guys were just kind of dinged up the whole season. They didn't really do much.
It's amazing, isn't it, that James Connor now 2 years in a row. You're like, man, what a disappointing year he had. He had like 600 rushing yards. Hold on, did he have double-digit touchdowns again? Yep, sure did.
Not
How does he
that,
keep doing that?
Not only that, remember the kid was supposed to die in college.
Mm-hmm.
He beat cancer and then
I love me some James Connor.
Oh, I like him a lot. I'm just saying Arizona is a NFC team that I could see them.
One team saying, I would actually legitimately say if I wasn't so convinced that Ryan Poles is the guy to say I don't do the big spending on one guy anymore thing. The Bears are a run heavy team that David Montgomery's contract is up, but I don't see the Bears.
It'd be interesting because of both of those. I'm assuming if Kyler Murray does get back to 100%, but it would be interesting to run like read option, maybe not total read option, but some kind of option with guys.
How do you get three guys on both of them?
Well, but I'm just saying, but with the running ability of either him or Justin Fields combined with the Derrick Henry, that's intriguing, at least on the surface. Maybe there's, you know, actual coaches out there be like, you guys are idiots. I would just do, you know, this.
How about reunite him with his teammate? Philadelphia Eagles need a running back. Miles Sanders' contract is up. They just lost a Super Bowl because they couldn't close the door in the fourth quarter.
Actually, bring it on. We got Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, so bring it on. We'll knock you to the ground.
Trying to think who else, obviously.
Well, we score 13
the
points.
The Giants might lose Barkley.
I think, okay.
Atlanta?
They got that Algier from BYU. He's a beast. Tyler Algier.
What if Kamara ends up getting arrested for this, spending some time in jail? Is New Orleans interested?
You know, that would be intriguing, but we got to change the subject.
This isn't even a real trade block.
I know.
We just made this up.
But that's why it's fun. But okay, you want to talk about okay, this is the most delusional thing I read this week. Daniel Jones.
$45 million a year, baby.
$5 million. He thinks he's worth $45 million.
Pay the man. Pay the man.
My mouth hung open as I looked at that. I'm like, wow. How does that guy even find pants? His balls are so big.
I love it. Demand more.
Big, shiny, brass ones.
He saw what Joe Flacco got after winning that Super Bowl, and he said, you know what? I won one playoff game. I deserve that.
I just... $45 million! Patrick Mahomes, I think, barely makes that.
I think Mahomes is at 50.
He is. I'm just saying it was high 40s.
It's in the ballpark, though.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, he's been to 3 of the last 4 Super Bowls and won 2 of them. Daniel Jones, I just want to call him Derek Jones. That's how good he is. Seriously, man. The best thing he has done in his entire career was this last year when he didn't throw as many interceptions. Did he throw 30 touchdowns? No.
I think he threw 15.
Yeah. Did he throw 40? Did he run for 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns? No. None of those things. Give me $45 million.
You have no idea how much I'm enjoying this, though. As someone who doesn't really care for the New York Giants anyway, pay him and Barkley. Give them both all the money in the world.
I hate the Giants.
All the money in the world.
And so part of me, here's the thing. For whatever reason, it's Washington's fault that he's doing this. Because what does he have? 6 or 8 career games against Washington? And I think in 7 of those, we made him look like freaking Joe Montana. He loves playing against Washington. He puts up just bullshit numbers against us. So, yeah, he's like, well, if I keep playing Washington twice a year, there's 2 good games at least.
And, you know, I also was going to bring this up when I mentioned 45, that it was...
I am still just absolutely floored at how ballsy of an ask that is. I mean, friggin' Keyshawn Johnson might as well come out of retirement and demand $45 million. And it would be like that level of ridiculous. Give me a freaking break, man.
Oh, it's the best.
$45 million!
If they pay Daniel Jones $45 million, I genuinely hope, since he was just cut from the Steelers, that Mitchell Trubisky goes up to some team. And so, like, Mitchell Trubisky is the next Falcons quarterback, right? Well, and he goes up to him and says, you know what, Daniel Jones just got $45 million. For my services, I'm charging $48 a year.
I was going to say, if Daniel Jones is worth $45 million a year as a quarterback, Mitch Trubisky's worth $30 based on whatever scale he's using, crack scale. I'm looking this up, so I got to know his number. Because, yeah, I think he barely threw 20 touchdowns.
It was 15. I know that is the exact number of touchdowns. I just saw it this morning. I believe to 3 interceptions, so that's at least good.
So he thinks he should get $3 million per touchdown pass.
Correct.
I almost want to just start dropping the F-bomb on this guy. I cannot believe that.
Do you think we could like take an offer on that or something and say, hey, if we show up to an NFL practice, you play your starting defense, I get to play with the starting offense.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play a few drives. If I throw any touchdown passes...
You owe me $3
million. You owe me $3 million. I, a regular guy up the street.
I have a chance.
I could go make $3 million. Wow.
Yeah, so here's his numbers. You're right on. So he's never thrown for more than 24 touchdowns in a season. That was in 2019. He had 15 touchdown passes last year, which in the modern NFL is kind of pathetic.
That would have been league average in 1952.
I mean, what didn't the record is almost 60.
I think it's 55.
Yeah,
from Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Which, to be fair, is 5 more than second place, which is a bit ridiculous.
But I just...
Come on, Peyton. Slow your roll.
So just to put that in perspective, though, Daniel Jones has 60 career touchdown passes. 60
Career.
Manning did that in basically a year. One season. Not even a calendar year. A season. I do. If he gets anywhere near that, in fact, if I was the Giants, I would send him priority FedEx mail, the biggest turd sandwich I could put together from the grossest thing ever, like two slices of crust and a big soggy turd in the middle.
So you know what they're going to do instead?
They're going to sign
they're
it.
They're going to pay him $45 million a year.
I don't even know what else to say about that. I had put it aside, and then when you were talking, I'm like, oh yeah, that moron wants $45 million.
So if I let you say your catchphrase real quick, Dal, about Washington winning the offseason.
Oh, I thought this was my catchphrase.
I was not a sportsman.
There's a couple of things that broke about Fields and the Bears over the past week. First of all, getting a lot of flack from Bears fans, and admittedly, I wasn't a huge fan of the comment either, but saying that he is very much pro-dome, because he said the wind in Chicago is difficult to get used
Boo
to.
Boo frickety who.
Now, granted, a lot of fans are like calling for his head on a spike. I actually did end up watching the interview just for fun. He was actually cackling as he said it. Like, he said it, like, in, he's like, yeah, oh, yeah, the Bears are talking about building a new stadium. They just, but that's the other thing. They actually did finally finalize the purchase of the Arlington Heights property.
Yeah.
So Soldier Field is good and dead here in 10 years.
$197+ million for the land.
They're going to put a nice dome.
Well, if you're going to spend
on that.
Well, if you're going to spend $200 million on the land, you better believe the stadium's going to be nice.
Well, I've seen the proposed plans, and apparently we just hired that new team president, and the whole reason he was hired was he was the Vikings team president when they built that new dome in Minnesota with the big glass roof, which is a nice dome.
Oh, yeah, much better than the one they used to have that, what, was like half inflated?
Yes.
Who the hell invented that, by the way?
what a... I hate that.
And they used it forever, but it was such a sketchy idea. It's such a 60s idea, isn't it? It's like we're going to go to the moon. Here's a random box of crap. Go to the moon.
I do still hate that Minnesota, Detroit, and now apparently Chicago in 10 years play in domes. That feels wrong. I do, however, have no doubts that this dome is going to be very nice. However, Justin Fields did, they asked him, they're like, you know, what are your thoughts on that? He goes, you know what, I'm all for it. Let's put a dome over this place. He goes, I came out here, because I'm from Georgia, man. I came out here, I played in that Chicago wind. That Chicago wind's no joke. It cuts right through you. And then they all had a good laugh about it. And he goes, so yeah, I hope we do build a dome. Granted, I don't know that Justin knows that it's going to take a decade to actually build the thing. Maybe he'll still be here. That would certainly be good.
I could see him getting it done in 5.
I believe, though, the plan, because they have a contract with Soldier Field that lasts through the next 9.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
Yeah, their plan is for 10 years.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on... No offense. Even if Justin Fields turned into Josh Allen, you don't even know if he's going to be there in 9 years. You have no idea.
Yeah, he's going to have to dial back on the rushing quite a bit. I mean, quarterbacks can easily last another 10 years from his third year in the league, but not quarterbacks. Only if you perform is the key. But here's the other thing about Fields. So this stat got posted. They compared it because NBC, SN, Chicago. And a lot of people have made this comparison, which is fair, because you didn't much care, or not much care for, but you're not totally sold on Justin Fields yet. As an unbiased...
No, I'm not.
...off to the side guy. You and I, we weren't totally sold on Jalen Hurts.
Nope.
Right?
And the crazy thing about that is I still don't know that I am. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter what I think. He's there.
Second in league MVP. And he almost, I mean, let's face it. I know he had the fumble, Dal. That was a hell of a Super Bowl Jalen Hurts put on.
That's literally like the only thing he did wrong.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a big one, But I don't. I'm not throwing that out there to say that's why they lost. I'm not saying that. He was a runaway MVP pick until they didn't win the game.
I am a little like puh at all the people coming at him when people, you know, we can go here and there on that holding call. Did the holding call cost him the game?
I hate that kind of stuff.
People's response is, well, how come blame Jalen Hurts and his stupid fumble? I'm like, if there's anyone I'm not blaming from the Philadelphia Eagles, it's Jalen. The defense gave up 38 points. You can't blame Hurts for one fumble.
Well, there's
when he plays a perfect game other than that.
It's a team game, and there's a crap load of variables.
But you want to see some interesting comparisons? If we were able to surround him with anything close to what the Eagles were able to surround Hurts with? This was Jalen Hurts in 2021, his second year as the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. Completed 61% of his passes.
This is pretty, but it's kind of below what you want.
Justin Fields this year completed 61% of his passes. Jalen Hurts, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Fields, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Comparable. Hurts, 87.2 passer rating. Justin Fields, 85.2. Jalen Hurts, 784 yards rushing. Justin Fields obviously had the 1143.
So he's basically Jalen Hurts as a better running version of Jalen Hurts.
And then so someone pointed out, I noticed that the graphic left out passing yards. How convenient. Because the Bears didn't really throw the ball that much. So Fields passing yards, bad. So I said, okay, fine, I'll look it up myself. So I did. Jalen Hurts, his second year. 31-44 passing yards, 3,144 on 432 pass attempts.
That's a lot of attempts for 3,100 yards.
That's 7.3 yards per attempt. Justin Fields, 2,242 yards on 318 attempts, 7.2 yards per attempt.
So basically the same
thing. The same.
So the question is, will he continue to develop like Jalen Hurts slash
and
get more weapons?
And that's kind of what the...
Well, here's the thing about the Bears. I mean...
There's not an A.J. Brown just lying around for us to pick up.
I consider myself a pretty ardent NFL fan, and I can't tell you who the friggin' leading receiver is for the Bears.
You know, statistically speaking, I think it was still Mooney.
I'm just saying, but just the idea that you're a friggin' nerd and a half.
I know
the Bears.
Mooney missed 5 games, so I wasn't sure if he still led the team.
But just saying, they don't have a number one wide receiver. I don't even think they have a number two wide receiver. They've got a bunch of receivers.
See, I really like Darnell Mooney.
Well, I would consider
Darnell Mooney a number two wide receiver.
If he'd played all his games.
At the bottom half of the... Like, he's not Devontae Smith.
No.
He's not Chris Godwin, number two receiver. But he'd be a number two receiver on, like, half the teams.
I guess what I'm trying to say is...
But he shouldn't be number one.
Even though I'm not sold on Fields yet, that's a great comparison. And then you look at the weapons they have surrounded Jalen Hurts with... Since season 2, if they did something similar with Justin Fields, you got to like his chances.
And here's the other thing that's just kind of off to the side here because I also looked it up. Jalen Hurts in that year, his second year, was sacked 26 times, pressured 50 times. All right?
Okay.
Justin Fields was sacked this year 55 times. That's more times than Hurts even got pressured. Was under pressure... On 103 of his dropbacks. That means if you assume that you combine his 55 sacks with his 318 pass attempts, right? You're looking at...
No, I'm listening.
Okay. So you combine those together, so 55 sacks, 318, you got about...
I was told there'd be no math for the podcast.
I see.
So I'm not doing
373.
It.
He had 373 dropbacks.
Okay.
Over a quarter of those, he was pressured on. Literally every 4 times the Bears dropped back to pass, there was a defender within 1 yard of Fields when he threw the football or sacked him. Okay. That's insane.
Well, I guess what I'm, you know, what we're saying is we agree they still need, he needs to take the next step, but so does the team.
Yes. And, well, the team needs to take quite a few steps.
Yeah, the team needs multiple steps.
But I'm just saying that was something that if you're a Bears fan and you looked at what happened this year and you're like, oh man, you know, Fields only 2,000 whatever passing, you know, all the rushing yards. Oh, I don't know.
Based on the Daniel Jones scale, he's worth at least $40 million.
No, thank you. But anyhow, I'm just saying there is a precedent that exists in the NFL right now that says, all right, hope isn't dead is the thing.
Like, oh, no
there
way.
Is clearly some precedent that exists.
I think the Bears have had a tremendous season. Not win-loss, but if you look at how they have situated themselves in order to improve with this offseason based on some of the choices that they made this last year, I think they did very well with a lot of their decisions.
I appreciate, and fans don't always love it, but there is something to be said about we went out and we said, you know what, this time, instead of a GM that thinks of himself as a hyper genius, let's just go get a GM who thinks of this like business.
Well,
and you know what, right now, sort that's of like, what it is.
You know who polls, right?
Yeah, Ryan Poole.
And he was a former offensive lineman.
For the Bears, so fun fact.
It reminds me of that line from Pearl Harbor, and they come up with Roosevelt's getting the idea about raiding Tokyo right after Pearl Harbor. And the guys, some sub-commander came up with it. He's like, I like sub-commanders. They don't have time for bullshit. And to me, that's kind of how offensive linemen would run a team. I don't have time for that.
Here's an interesting tidbit, by the way. I learned this in college as a fun little thing. But you know why I like offensive linemen who then go on to get head coaching jobs and GM jobs and this and that? This might go under the radar. Of course, I'm hinting strongly at it. But in college, this is across all three divisions of NCAA football. In college football, by position, guess what position has the highest GPA on average across all divisions?
Absolutely, I would think it's the offensive line.
It is the center, then quarterback, then it's offensive tackle and offensive guard. The offensive line constructs three of the top four smartest players on average as far as getting good grades.
Well, I'm just throwing this out there because obviously as a Washington fan, their center, at least he has been when he's not been hurt, Chase Roullier, from the Wyoming Cowboys, he got his engineering degree in 3 years.
part of it isn't always that they're just geniuses.
But I'm just saying, but he's a smart dude.
Part of it is, you know, getting good grades isn't always about just, oh, I took one look at the textbook and suddenly it's engraved in my brain forever. A lot of college is just, you know, putting your nose down and getting to work, doing a whole lot of studying. Who works harder than an offensive lineman?
Yeah. For little reward, because the only time anybody talks about you is when you miss a block and the quarterback gets smashed.
I have nothing but respect for my offensive line friends out there.
Anyway, I think the Bears are in good shape,
and
relatively speaking.
Speaking of, this is part two of my little the Bears offseason thing. Matt Miller of NBC Sports claims he's a former GM. But claims that he has spoken to some scouts and believes that he has found leaked information on trade packages three teams have already put together that they're willing to initially offer the Bears. If these are accurate, these are pretty good initial offers. The ones that he claims were leaked, the Indianapolis Colts, the Houston Texans, I've got them right here in front of me,
okay,
and the Carolina Panthers. The offers are as follows, and remember, this is my favorite part of this, is that these are considered the initial offers they've put together, which means that if there becomes a bidding war, these will all go up, and they're already this. The Colts, the number 4 overall pick, their second round pick, which is 34th overall,
mm-hmm,
their fourth round pick, and a third round pick next year.
That's not bad.
Not bad. To only move back four spots or three spots if you're the Bears.
Yeah, the big gain in that would be the early second round pick.
Yes, which is about this close to being a first round pick. Right. So the Colts were bad. The Texans, which is actually my least favorite offer, to be honest. But number two, a third, so we don't get a second from Houston. Boo, Houston. Another third, and a fourth.
See, to me, that seems pretty light.
Yeah.
To move up. Moving up, there's got to be a...
These are the initial
offers. It's got to hurt a little bit.
So, I like the Colts better than that one. This one's intriguing to me if you're looking into next year, when if the Bears still need a wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. might be coming out of Ohio State. If Carolina sucks, if we can trade with Carolina... Carolina's the only one that offered multiple first-round picks in this supposed... They're number 9 overall. Next year's first-round pick. This year's third. Next year's third. This year's fourth, next year's fourth.
Yeah, that's
from
that's,
Carolina.
That's the one you take.
Carolina sounds... Of course, the only thing that people might look at is, well, the Colts, we only move back to 4. Carolina, we have to move back to 9.
Yeah, are you winning the Super Bowl next year, Bears?
No, but if you're looking at a specific player this year that you're like, oh... I mean, if you're really that in love with Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, but here's the thing. Yes, it'd be nice to have Will Anderson... We just heard a week ago, Mel Kiper said, this is the deepest edge rusher class he's ever seen. He claimed there would be 20 edge rushers in this draft he would grade as first round picks if they were in any other class. But they're in one that has 20 of them. So he's like, yeah, so obviously some of them are going to fall out of the first round. Huh. But there's 20 first round talents on the edge.
Another reason why Washington won't keep Montez Sweat.
So do you really need to take Will? Will Anderson's the best one. But if you can get Miles Murphy or you can get the kid from Clemson, if you can get any of these guys and they're almost just as good, but you get all this stuff with it.
Yeah.
And again, the big part of that is, you know, if we really like Marvin Harrison Jr., maybe Carolina will suck again, and we're picking 5th next year.
Well, Carolina doesn't exactly have a quarterback yet, so, and even if they draft
unless
one.
Unless we traded with them, and then they have Bryce Young or Will Levis.
Yeah,
or,
but that's what I'm saying. But even their best case scenario, it's going to be another rookie. So how good could they be? We also, hey, we got to touch on this. We're out of time, but we got to touch on this. I watched the XFL for you.
Yes, we should.
The Defenders.
Both our teams won.
In fact, I'm gonna make you listen to my theme. I was sending these all these teams. I was
clicking the YouTube links every single time.
You were watching them. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Defenders of the Earth.
Yeah!
These rockets ignite! Jets into battle, fly faster than light!
Flash Gordon!
Lord of the jungle!
How come 80s cartoon theme songs just hit so much harder than
modern? They're awesome, aren't they?
Modern cartoon theme songs just want to set up the show. Back in the 80s, they were like, nah, this is like a legitimate rock song. You could work out to this if you wanted to.
And this isn't even one of the more popular ones.
No.
I mean, go watch... Go get the soundtrack from the Transformers. I'm wearing my Transformers shirt today. Go watch the 30th anniversary Transformers. That is such an awesome movie. So just I'm gonna gush on this for a minute, even though it's anyway. Defenders, they won.
Yes.
And so I was sending Defenders of the Earth to you and Mackenzie because you told me I had to trash talk your wife. So I tried a little bit.
You should have seen. By the way, I've never laughed so hard in my life. Mackenzie's up. She looks like me at this point because she's decided, she's like, you know what? I have a stake in this because I have a my team. When we watch Bears, White Sox, Cardinals, all that stuff, I don't know why. Like, she pretends to watch it but is usually just doing her own thing in the back. This, for her Seattle Dragons, because there was trash talk on the line. She's like right up next to the TV. DiNucci fumbles that football to lose the game.
Yeah.
She collapsed and she goes, no! She goes, are you kidding me? No, not like that.
Defenders.
I mean, literally 2 seconds later, she goes, all right, I'm going to go start dinner. Walks over, goes into the kitchen. She comes back in. She's laughing at stuff on her phone. And that's when I think I texted in the group chat.
She's not sad enough.
I said, Mackenzie is not nearly devastated enough by her team losing. She's not a real sports fan yet.
But I'm so... Since you brought up 80s cartoon themes, I have to talk about this for just a minute. So
Transformers movie.
So the Transformers
soundtrack.
Movie First off, it's fantastic. It's so much better than the live action ones, even though I like a couple of those. But the talk about this is the difference between cartoons when I was a kid and cartoons now. Cartoons now, they're like, what are we teaching the children? What are should we be more cognizant of this? It was to sell toys even in the 80s. Plain and simple. That's what the cartoon was for. So Transformers had been on for four seasons, I think, three or four, when the movie came out. So, I mean, kids love these characters. They've bought them. They've played with them. They love them. They love Brawl and Ironhide and Ratchet and all these Transformers. Those three guys died in one scene in the movie. They get blown in half by Megatron while Instruments of Destruction plays in the background.
You want to talk about the success of using the cartoon to sell toys, by the way. I used to tell the other kids when I was like in second and third grade, Starscream was my, quote, favorite. Because I thought his toy looked the coolest.
Oh, I love Starscream. He dies in the movie, too.
Starscream is the weaseliest little sack of crap through the whole series.
Oh, yeah.
And he was my favorite because he had the coolest toy.
Well, he also dies in the movie. But I'm just, that's what I'm saying. Back then, it was like, well, we need to come up with some new toys. We need to come up with a new toy line. Let's kill off the old toy line. And all these little kids... they kill Optimus Prime, for hell's sakes.
Though, that didn't last.
No, it lasted. Here's the thing. Post-movie, the Transformers sucked.
Sucked.
They're so bad.
It still happened.
No, they didn't happen.
It's oh, like, my apologies.
It's like Rocky V. It didn't happen.
I just got this update, too. I didn't know this one. You want to talk about some stats? Someone pulled up. We're talking about Fields here, Dal. I can hype him up a little bit more. He must have really tanked it against bad teams. That might be something to watch.
Maybe.
But they pointed out, against teams that made the playoffs in 2022, he actually had better numbers. 69 completion percentage, a quarterback rating.
Somewhere Gronk just laughed.
A quarterback rating of 103.4 and a 13-1 touchdown interception ratio against playoff teams. Why didn't you play like that when you were playing, like, the Falcons?
I don't know.
The Lions and stuff.
I do want to throw this out there. The XFL schedule next week. McKenzie's Sea Dragons play...
which is starting tomorrow, so really this week.
So they play the Battle Hawks, which Brian Hill, used to be a Wyoming player, had a nice game for the Battle Hawks. Like, what do you have, 50 or 60 yards rushing and 25 yards receiving, something like that.
I'll include names in our group chat, Dal, for each team, just so that you know who to properly trash talk when you're up against. Okay. I believe the Battle Hawks were the only team with three people that claimed them. Kelly, my father-in-law, his name is Brian as well as my own father's name is Brian. That's really easy to remember.
That is.
And my mom all took St. Louis. Mackenzie is the Sea Dragons fan, so she'll be glued to the TV again tomorrow night. Your DC Defenders kick off Saturday morning, right?
Defenders.
Or not morning, but at 5 p.m. or something, right?
7 Eastern, yep, 5 o'clock.
Okay. Against Kyler and my brother Braden and their Vegas Vipers.
You know what, Aaron? If we had any brains at all between the two of us, we would leave this snowy hell and drive to Vegas and watch this game.
That's if I can, A, if any roads are open.
They're open south.
I was about to say, and if they are open, I believe that means I'll be in Casper on Saturday.
No. See, that's the thing. All the roads to Casper are still closed.
Oh, my apologies. Gotta head on to Vegas.
They won't be by then, but I'm looking at that going, that would be kind of fun.
And Sunday has a doubleheader, right?
Yeah, you got the Brahmas.
That's my dad.
Who absolutely pissed away their game. Wow. Sorry, Brian Feely.
Yes.
They dominated that game.
Do you remember all of last year? I would come in here for our Friday morning show and we'd talk college football. You and Duke would do the, and you'd bring me on for the college picks. What did I complain about every week about Notre Dame? Every week.
I don't remember.
Okay, it was Jack Cohn.
Oh, right.
Our quarterback. Every week I was whining about, he's the starting quarterback for the Brahmas.
You don't like him.
But up against Max's Orlando Guardians.
Well,
Max loves his Guardians.
And what kind of monster would cheer against a little boy in his football team?
His own grandfather.
And then the other one.
My Renegades.
Renegades and the... How cool are the Roughnecks, though? If I was, if we were going to repick, and I was just going to pick one that I like, I didn't realize that Wade Phillips was their coach, and I didn't realize they're using half an oil derrick. They're basically stealing half of the Houston Oilers logo and turning it red.
It is a shame.
I miss the Houston Oilers logo. It was such a good one.
And you know who ended up with the Houston Roughnecks? Was my cousin Jack, Hillbilly Likes Pie of fantasy football fame.
My favorite username, by the way.
Who is most famous in our family for being, like, he just doesn't really, like, talk. He's not the loudest person ever, which is so odd in the Feely house. Especially if you've ever met his dad. My Uncle Tim is a very talkative, outgoing, he's a salesman. Like, that's literally his career. And Jack is the quietest. Yeah, so I won the fantasy football championship.
So I guess you guys suck. I'm the winner.
I got a glass of white milk and I chugged it in victory. He ended up with Houston because there were two teams left and they were DC and Houston. And he said, I think that guy you do the podcast with is going to pick DC. So I'll take Houston, I guess.
Well, and the only reason I picked DC was the same reason you said it's easy to remember your... The guys' names are both named Brian. I'm already cheering for Washington, so I'm like, I'll just do that because it's easy. But now
turned out they were accidentally super good.
See, but now that there's been a week, I would have picked the Roughnecks. Because although,
come on, Dal, you didn't enjoy watching that DC fan base throw lemons in protest of their beer snake being stolen.
I did love that. I do have to throw this out there though. Their beer snake was kind of tame.
Well, it was only half finished. It was stolen.
I'm just saying the Wyoming beer snake when it happens.
Have you seen the clip from back
hundreds of feet long?
Back in 2000, the original XFL?
I do. And the Wyoming one trounces it.
You've seen the one where they made it circle the whole stadium?
Oh, the whole stadium. No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah. The original XFL from 2000, there was a DC Defenders team. And that's why the tradition is now a thing.
It was the whole length?
Yeah, they made it circle.
Oh, wow. No, but I didn't see that. Yeah, the Wyoming one, it actually goes all the way from the bottom up to the top of the stadium. It's pretty cool.
I got to love when fans just do random things to entertain themselves.
And I like that. And the thing is, you almost wish there was someone that could have something pinned on them that they're a genius. Like somewhere Dwayne Johnson is up there in the box watching that game going, we need to get the Defenders fired up. Go steal their beer snake. That'll piss them off. And then they start throwing the lemons. That really did turn the game around.
It did. You know what I thought was very fun? Not fun, but funny. Because I'm a Bears fan, right? Where have you heard this one before, Dal? I'm cheering for my Arlington Renegades. So there I am rooting for my team. And the backup quarterback is the most popular man on the planet because our starting quarterback can't throw the ball further than 10 yards. Our offensive line is horrible garbage. The offensive coordinator is making the most convoluted, wait, what are you doing decisions throughout the whole game. That offense was atrocious for four quarters. And then they won the football game because the defense scored three touchdowns. where have you? I'm like, I've seen this before. Somewhere. And then the game, of course, ends with they have the 8-point lead and the Vipers score with 8 seconds to go and they go for two for the win. And it's the Arlington defense who's BJ Hill or no, BJ Barnes, former NFL player, comes through, sacks Luis Perez in like 2 seconds on the play. Defense slams the door. Boom. All right. We win the game. It was all defense. Defense won that whole game. And I went, this fills me with some form of nostalgia, and I can't pinpoint it. I'm watching the Brian Urlacher entire era of Bears football, all 10 years of it, in Arlington form.
What the XFL showed me, though, is that
Did you enjoy that they let people tackle and
hit
receivers over
but
the middle?
But I also saw that if you're an offensive lineman of any advanced skill level, you've got a job. Because of all the positions in the XFL, that was what all of those teams were missing, at least somewhat.
I'm not even sure that I'm going to blame that initially on that straight up every team just had five really terrible athletes on the offensive line. We pointed this out earlier. I mean,
defense is always ahead of offense anyway. So
at the early portions, they only got 2 weeks of practice before the season started. Do you have any idea how hard some of those offensive line calls some of these coordinators put on their linemen?
So hopefully they get better. But
so I'm assuming that they will get better. I'm guessing most of that was just pure confusion is what took place. But I believe we are out of time now. So are you looking forward to week two of the XFL now?
I am.
That's the important thing.
I am. Vipers be going down. Defenders of the earth.
So we will see you guys next week. You can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.
My word, no, 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 no.